This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Crop insurance continues to be a valuable tool for farmers. Jasper County farmer Bill Michael remembers why he decided to purchase crop insurance coverage for his operation.
In 1983, we had a drought. Our corn averaged 15 bushels to acre. Soybeans averaged 20 bushels to acre. That's what opened my eyes to crop insurance. Ever since then, I've had crop insurance every year.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand the value you place on working with a crop insurance provider that understands today's crop insurance option.
Farm Credit, the crop insurance agents have been very helpful. They're very knowledgeable in the different programs, different policies available. They're just a phone call away. If I have a question, I just make a call and the answer is there.
Call Farm Credit today at 800-444-FARM to discover more about a crop insurance plan to fit your farming operation.
Farm Credit has been a big help insurance-wise. They've been a very big help.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand.
Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield is your headquarters for Firestone Farm Tires and Service. Taylor Tire, your authorized Firestone Tire dealer, is the place to call for all your Firestone Farm Tire needs. And when you need in-the-field service, the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto are trained, experienced, and they have the equipment to do the job right and on time. So when you need Firestone Farm Tires or in-the-field service, call the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue in Litchfield.
And in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, December wheat trading at 8.59, that's up 1.5. March wheat trading at 8.69¾, up a penny. December corn trading at 7.42, down 6. March corn trading at 7.42, down 6.5. November soybeans now trading at 15.39½, down 12. January beans trading at 15.37¾, down 13¼. On the Chicago Board of Trade Friday, December wheat ended at 8.57½, down 11¾. March wheat ended at 8.68¾, down 11. May wheat ended at 8.69½, down 10¼. December corn on Friday ended at 7.48, down 9. March corn ended at 7.48½, down 8¾. May corn ended at 7.43¾, down 9½. November soybeans on Friday ended at 15.51½, unchanged. January beans ended at 15.51, unchanged. March beans ended at 15.13, down 5½. October soybean meal Friday ended at 4.74.70, up 39. December meal ended at 4.71.20, up 23. January meal ended at 4.67.10, up 18. October soybean oil on Friday ended at 50.76, down 24. December oil ended at 51.19, down a quarter. January oil ended at 51.53, down 24. December oats on Friday ended at 3.67¼, down 3½. March oats ended at 3.71¼, down 3½. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois Kentucky grain prices ended mostly lower on Friday afternoon. Corn futures weakened due to harvest pressure and poor export interest. In northern and western Illinois, Kentucky grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly 4 to 9 cents lower at 7.22 to 7.39, while soybean bids ended mixed at 15.18 to 15.33. In central Illinois, Kentucky grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 9 cents lower at 7.37 to 7.55, while soybeans ended a penny lower at 15.31 to 15.46. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly 7 to 9 cents weaker at 7.44 to 7.63. Soybeans ended mostly steady at 15.22 to 15.41, and the wheat bids down 11 to 15 cents at 8.21 to 8.41. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids ended steady on Friday at 15.51 to 15.66, with basis also steady ranging from option to 15 over November. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis ended $2.40 to $3.90 per ton higher, ranging from $4.79.20 to $4.89.70. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids down 9 cents at 751 to 763, with basis steady at 3 to 15 over December. Dry distiller grains ended mostly steady on Friday, ranging from 277 to 290 per ton. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bid 7 to 9 cents lower at 735 to 740. Basis ended steady to 2 cents stronger at 13 to 8 under December. Soybean bids ended 1 to 2 cents stronger at 1544 to 1548, with basis also up 1 to 2 cents at 7 to 3 under November. Wheat prices ended 3 to 6 cents lower for new crop delivery, ranged from 806 to 810, with basis steady to 2 cents lower at 34 to 30 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 2 to 9 cents lower at 708 to 748. These same elevators raise their soybean prices by 3 to 4 cents, with quotations at 1559 to 1565. Soft red winter wheat down 12 cents at 816 to 817, while the Milo ended 9 cents lower at 697 to 698. Contract bids to producers for January delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. January corn bids range from 728 to 746, January soybean bids at 1527 to 1542. In central Illinois, January corn bids range from 743 to 765, with January soybean bids at 1542 to 1558. And in the southern part of the state, January corn bids range from 741 up to 777, January soybean bids at 1536 to 1565. With the new crop wheat bids for July 13 delivery, those bids range from 784 to 814. That is our Country Grain Report for Friday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange on Friday, October hogs ended at 81.32, down 47. December hogs ended at 76.55, up a half dollar. February hogs ended at $82, up 32. October cattle on Friday, 123.05, up 72. December cattle, 126.20, up a half dollar. February cattle, 129.75, up 30. October feeder cattle on Friday, 144.82, up 35. November feeders, 146.20, up 37. January feeders ended at $149, up a half dollar. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
This is Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture's closing livestock report for Friday. At the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Afternoon Hogs, negotiated purchases of bears and gilts on a carcass basis totaled 5,703 head today. They traded $1.28 lower from $72 to $82 with a weighted average of $78.33. And in Illinois today, there was 14,317 head of bears and gilts sold. Primal cutout value for a hog carcass was down 68 cents today at $84.27. The Illinois Direct Slaughter Sow and Bull Report, sows traded $3 to $6 higher, with U.S. 1s and 3s under 400 pounds from $30 to $32, 4 to 5 weights from $30 to $34, and over 500 pounds from $32 to $37. The Illinois Direct Bears and Gilts were steady to one higher today from $53 to $55. The estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection for Friday, hogs are at 431,000 on the day. That's up 5,000 from last week and up 9,000 from last year. Cattle are at 115,000 on the day. That's down 6,000 from last week, and it's down 5,000 from the same time last year. The USDA's estimated box beef choice cutout values, there was a total of 116 fabricated loads and 35 trim loads. Choice carcasses were down $1.36 at $1.89.99, while selects were down $1.45 at $1.75.64, leaving the choice select spread at $14.35. The National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Negotiated Purchases Summary Roundup on Thursday, trading and demand was moderate in all major feeding regions. Compared to last week in the Southern Plains, live sales sold one higher at $1.24, with a few in Kansas at $1.24.5. In Nebraska, live sales sold one to two higher at $1.24, while dressed carcasses were unevenly steady at $1.90, with a few up to $1.92. And in the Western Corn Belt, live sales were steady to one higher at $1.20 to $1.23, while dress sales were steady to $2 lower at $1.90. Negotiated cash confirmed is 93,319 head today. Live steers total of all grades at $1.1875 to $1.245, with a weighted average of $1.2348. On a dress basis, steers, total of all grades 184 to 196 with a weighted average of 189.90. Live heifers 119 to 124.5, average of 123.67. And dressed heifers, total of all grades, dressed at 188 to 196 with a weighted average of a 191.77. Thank you. Again, this has been Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange from Friday for butter, 186, down 9.25. For block cheese, 210 unchanged, and for barrel cheese, 206 unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk on Friday ended up at $20.90. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for October, $7.21. For November, $7.35. Corn delivered to Scottville for October, $7.21. For November, $7.32. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for October, $15.39. For November, $15.59. Wheat delivered to Scottville for October, $8.04. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices once again, corn at Greenfield, $7.21. Corn at Scottville, $7.21. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $15.39. Wheat at Scottville, $8.04. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you this morning by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
Now is a good time to get your lawn ready for the winter. FS offers an application for broad leaf control with fertilizer in October for a fall weed and feed to control any fall dandelions, wild violet, and chickweed. To get your lawn ready for winter, they offer a late fall fertilizer spread in November. This application will help store food for your lawn through the winter months and will help give you that early green up in the spring. For a free estimate, call Tim Rothy with Green Yard Professional Lawn Care by FS at 1-800-962-7331. Green Yard Lawn Care by FS is a service of M&M Service Company.
Sunny skies today, the high about 60 degrees with south winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Mostly clear tonight, low temperatures in the low 40s. Tomorrow, Tuesday, sunny skies and warmer, the high in the upper 60s. Your extended forecast for Wednesday through Friday, partly cloudy with a chance of showers Thursday night, low temperatures in the upper 40s, highs in the low 60s. Right now at the Weather Center, the winds are calm, the barometric pressure is steady, partly cloudy skies, 28 degrees on this Monday morning. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is next.
I'm Brad Gillespie, and I'm not a politician. I'm a husband and father who's just as frustrated with the politicians in Springfield as you are. I'm tired of watching politicians put their party ahead of the people they represent, and I'm tired of politicians who are more concerned with keeping their jobs than doing their jobs. We need leaders in Springfield who are committed to making the tough decisions to right our state regardless of the political cost. And that's why I'm running for state representative here in the 95th District.
Paid for by citizens for Brad Gillespie.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Bishop Motors of Staunton and Litchfield. First of all, in our farm news, coming up next week, the Klaus family will have an open house at their new hog facility north of Carlinville. Rita Frazier of the Illinois Farm Bureau reports.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting agriculture news here on WSMI. Coming up in a few days, an open house on a hog facility north of Carlinville on Triple D Farms, the home of David and Mary Kloss and their family. Earlier this summer, we were on that farm to talk more about their family history and their commitment to the pork industry. David Kloss told us more about that family farm.
Farms, and David joins us. Can you talk about the early years of this operation?
Well, Mary and I moved here in 1968. We got married, we moved here, and we've been here ever since. My father was an ag teacher in Carmville for 30 years, and so I have an ag background, but we've been here. We used to feed cattle and hogs. And now we've gone strictly to hogs. We're a contract grower. That has worked out very well for us. So we've been here for 44 years, I guess.
You've had a lot of expansion and changes. Can you talk a little bit about those as far as the hog side of the operation?
We used to have approximately 220 sows of our own farrow to finish. And then in the late 90s, when The hog business was so terribly in the doldrums with economics, why we decided to go with the contract finishing, do away with our sows.
Where we are here in Macoupin County, how important has like neighbor relations and, you know, being good friends with the people that live in this part of the county?
We're very fortunate. We have a very good neighborhood. We have a very good relationship with our neighbors. We do a lot of things together. When we moved here, Mary and I were the young ones in the neighborhood, and now we're the older ones in the neighborhood. We have an annual neighborhood party every year, and we roast a pig, and it has become such tradition that people wonder when we're having it, and they get very upset if we wouldn't have it.
It's very important, too, to make that connection. We mentioned earlier that you guys also pay taxes, and being a part of the community and helping contribute to the community like the school district, really important.
Yes, and we're all very active in the community. Our one daughter is a president of the school board. Our oldest daughter, Jane, which is part of the farm, she is the head person for the food festival building at the county fair. She's very active in her church. My wife and I are very active in the church.
And how important has that been? You mentioned faith and family. How much of an importance has that played, the role that that's played in this operation?
Oh, I think it's very important because people understand that we're just trying to make a living in the livestock business like others are trying to make it in the crop sector. The more you can visit with different people, particularly from the towns, they understand more of what you're doing and what goes on.
And the next generation here with us, you have a son-in-law, your daughter you mentioned, and a grandson that's very interested. What does that mean to you?
Well, that's what we work for. That's why Mary and I have worked so hard over the years to build an operation to continue on.
David Kloss in Carlinville. In our next report, we'll visit with David's wife, Mary. She'll talk more about their family operation and their life in Macoupin County. For WSMI, I'm Rita Frazier.
Thank you, Rita. Coming up Thursday, another United States Department of Agriculture grain inventory report is released. We talked to Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions, and he went over what it might show.
Well, I think as we look forward to next week's USDA crop report, the USDA will try to translate the lower corn and wheat stocks into its supply and demand balance sheet. USDA is faced with a problem here because normally you would see it in that situation, take those numbers and translate it into higher feed usage numbers. But if it raises feed usage on corn, that would drop this year's ending stocks numbers to unacceptably low levels because the market simply doesn't allow supplies to drop much below a 5% stocks to use ratio. So what does USDA do? One of the options that they have is to simply say, well, prices haven't slowed feed demand yet, but we believe that they will down the road, so we're just going to leave the balance sheet exactly the way it is. And if that's the case, the markets are no longer comprised of the major fundamental traders like MF Global and PFG Best that we once knew how to trade the fundamentals. Now it's driven by computers making those decisions and by fund managers who don't understand supply and demand. So they may interpret that as bearish, may make it difficult to sustain the rally.
And that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. Right now we'll update the livestock markets from the past week. We'll take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture for a report from the Greenville Livestock Auction.
This is Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture's Morning Livestock Report for Thursday. At the Greenville Livestock Auction on Wednesday, they had 571 head on offer. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold $2 lower, while slaughter cows traded mostly steady. Choice steers from $1.17 to $1.20.5, while selecting choice cattle at $1.12 to $1.17. Choice Holsteins from $1.09 to $1.11, and choice heifers from $1.17.5 to $1.19. Selecting choice heifers at $1.13.5 to $1.16. In the slaughter cow division, you had boning type cows from $75 to $81 and lean cows from $65 to $70. Thank you. Again, this has been Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Now for an update on the regional hog markets, here's University of Missouri livestock economist Dr. Ron Plain.
It was a good week in the hog markets. We started out with an encouraging news on the USDA's September hog inventory report. They said the breeding herd was down 0.3% compared to a year ago. Market hog numbers only up 0.4%. Those were smaller than trade estimates and got us off to a good start. Futures market ending the week 2-3 in instances $4 higher than we started in response to that positive news from the pig report. And the cash hog markets did well. Pork cutout value up $4.67 this week, getting close to $85 a hundredweight. Loins, hams, and pork bellies all higher this week. Hog markets $2 to $4 higher on cash hogs. Carcass prices are in the upper 70s, live prices at the terminal markets in the lower 50s. And part of the increase in the cash markets due to what looks like we've pulled ahead on marketings weights in Iowa, Minnesota last week. Live weights, 269.2 pounds. That was down a pound from the week before, down 1.3 pounds from the same week a year ago. Second out of the last 3 weeks in which weights have been below a year ago. And slaughter this week, we've been up over 5% for the last 7 weeks, but this week's hog slaughter very close to year-ago levels. So it looks like we may have pulled ahead at some of the fall marketings to try to keep from feeding quite so much high-priced corn.
The United States Grains Council recently concluded its 16th annual China Corn Harvest Tour. China is the second largest corn producer in the world, and the country has recently emerged as a corn importer, a fact which the council says emphasizes China's role as a key factor in corn pricing, supply, and demand across the world. United States Grain Council President and CEO Tom Slight says this year's tour consisted of two surveys in the North China Plains and in Northeast China.
These two areas represent 71% of China's corn production, and the remaining 30% is dispersed and thus very difficult to survey. The groups that the Grains Council brought together in China were comprised of grain traders, feed industry, both U.S. and China analysts, U.S. Embassy, our corn producer from the United States, and U.S. Grains Council staff that traveled throughout China during the month of September, taking over 300 samples in seven major corn-producing provinces.
Ed Breitmeyer, Michigan farmer and United States Grain Council advisory team member, was on the tour. He says the groups looked at yields, acres, production, and quality, taking 10 to 12 different samples each day. He says the group members also discussed this year's crop compared to previous years with farmers. The yield from the tour is evaluated based on samples, a summary of conversations with farmers, and the analysis of group members.
On their last day of our tour, all the members of the groups got together to review and evaluate what each team had witnessed in each of those provinces or regions. We also showed where we were in northeastern China, what our observations were in each area, and the lodging problems that were due to the typhoon that hit China several weeks prior to our tour. Although this weather diversity will make harvest slightly more difficult, the condition of the crop is very good, and harvesting the corn by hand will also aid in a small loss of corn due to lodging. Between 70 to 90% of China's corn is harvested by hand, although we can see that China's corn harvest is beginning to become mechanized. Overall, grain quality was very, very good. If the weather conditions hold, the quality will remain throughout the harvest.
None of the factors that affected China's corn crop actually impacted yields, according to Grains Council Director in China, Brian Lomar.
Overall, we see yields up slightly from last year. And more importantly, area was up substantially this year. The main competing crops, other areas go down. Cotton on the North China Plain area went down, and soybeans up in the Northeast area went down as well. Peanut area went up in both regions, and this sort of reduced the expansion of corn sown area. But overall area was up a couple percentage points. So with both yields up and area up, we see a record crop this year. There was a record crop last year, and we see an increase in production this year, roughly 5 to 6 million metric tons. So China will have another record crop this year.
Lomar says feed demand continues to grow as well. U.S. Grains Council President and CEO Tom Slight says relationships between the United States and China continue to expand, and discussions about food security, biotechnology, and trade are active. You may have a plan for paying for the holiday presents you'll buy this year, but have you planned for how you will afford the higher taxes that will hit most U.S. households if Congress does not take action? American Farm Bureau tax specialist Pat Wolf talks about efforts to encourage Congress to keep those tax hikes from happening. Jonna Miller has more.
Come January 1st, families all over the country will be paying higher taxes unless Congress gets cracking during the lame duck session after the election.
There's every reason in the world to believe that they will do a tax package in December. It will be a huge tax increase if they don't, which isn't good news for most people, and it'll have an impact on the stock market and on our financial situation, and that has a lot of people worried. On the other hand, there's every reason to believe they won't, because they've had almost 2 years now to try to figure it out, and they haven't got it done.
American Farm Bureau tax specialist Pat Wolf says farmers and ranchers who will be especially hit hard by giant hikes in estate and capital gains taxes will be pushing for action on taxes to take priority in the short lame duck session.
They're only going to be here about 3 weeks, and that's really not very long. There's a list of things that they need to get done that's as long as my arm. The tax bill is one of them. The farm bill is another. Dealing with the sequestration is a third. There's a real possibility that they'll not have enough time to do everything. So Farm Bureau has engaged in a grassroots campaign to push the tax items that we think are most important, and that is making sure that we don't have a huge increase in estate taxes or capital gains taxes come January 1st.
Wolf says there's legislation in the works for a one-year extension of the current law.
Just about everybody agrees that our tax code needs an overhaul. But letting taxes go up on January 1st isn't a comprehensive look at our tax code. It's a tax accident. That 1 year is designed to give Congress long enough to come back and do a thoughtful, comprehensive tax reform package.
Jonna Miller, Washington.
Mexico and the United States are gearing for a costly showdown over fresh tomatoes, a $3.5 billion business for two countries, a move that could boost the fortunes of some American tomato farmers, but raise prices for U.S. consumers. Growers in Florida have demanded cuts in imports from Mexico, and Washington appears inclined to support the Floridians and a handful of farmers from other states who have joined the complaint. Once again, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, December wheat now trading at 8.59 and three quarter, up 2 1/4. March wheat trading at 8.70 and a quarter, up 1 1/2. December corn trading at 7.42 and a half, down 5 1/2. March corn trading at 7.43, down 5 1/2. November soybeans now trading at 15.40, down 11 1/2. January beans trading at 15.38. Down 13. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Part two of the Morning Farm Show on this Monday morning brought to you by Bishop Motors of Staunton and Litchfield.